Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, I'll recap the 8 games since my last podcast, and I'll talk plenty about something nobody thought we'd be talking about at the beginning of this NHL season. I'll cover those things and a lot more for you. Coming up in episode number 52 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around, I'll be right back. Fans, hey, welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. I already said that. I like to say it again. Why not? I'm in a good mood. Anybody have any idea why? I forgot what playoff hockey feels like. Well, it hasn't started yet, obviously, but man, the Colorado Avalanche are in the 2010 Stanley Cup playoffs. Who thought that was going to happen? I never said it was going to happen, but I also said this wasn't going to be the worst year ever, but man, I forgot what it felt like to get into the playoffs, and it's as my good man Borat would say, happy times. I hate to throw that in there, but I'm feeling kind of goofy today because it's almost playoff season. Why not? Hi, everyone. I'm Jay Veen. I'm your host of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Thanks for joining me. Some new listeners lately because of the push. We'll take bandwagon fans here, I guess. As long as you make a commitment to at least give a mainstream fan a try. So thank you so much for joining me. Going to the game a little bit later, so thought I'd get up early and get you guys a podcast. I was going to wait until after the Kings game, but trying to figure everything out is pretty tough with everything else I got going on. So I thought I'd do it now. I know you guys won't mind that. So this is episode number 52 of the show. Let's go with jersey number 52s. And there was only one. We all know him well. Adam Foote, second round draft pick by the Nordiques in 1989. The only Nordique left on the Avalanche. I don't know. Owen Nolan, is he still around? I haven't seen him for a while. But anyways, not very many Nordiques left in the league. Let's see, prior to this season, 646 games played, 48 goals, 156 assists. That's 204 points for Adam Foote. 152 playoff games, 7 goals, 32 assists, 272 penalty minutes. And man, people who say the playoffs don't wear on a player after a while, 152 games played, that's almost 2 extra seasons game-wise of hockey. Never even thought of that until I saw that number. And Adam Foote, the new captain, he's done his job well. As the games have gotten more important this season, he's started to play better. He's joining the play, joining the rush. I'll talk about him a little bit later. But I believe his number will be next to be retired, depending on when Peter Forsberg decides to officially retire. I believe your next three that you'll see, Foote, Forsberg, and Adam Foote. So we'll see about that. That's my prediction. I don't care whether I'm right or wrong. Overall, it's been a pleasure to watch this guy play. He's talking about coming back next year. Beginning, middle of the season, I'd say no way. The way he's played lately, I'd say we'll see. So there's at least a chance. Adam Foote, jersey number 52. We all know him. We all love him. All right, let's get into the games real quick, and then we'll talk about all kinds of other stuff. Game number 74, this was since my last podcast. Not the 74th game since my last show, but Saturday, March 27th, the Avalanche played at the Jobing.com Arena in Phoenix and lose to the Coyotes 6-2. Peter Mueller, a late scratch in this one, hip injury. And also, this has come up lately, the Avalanche second in the league in man games lost to injury. Something brought up usually as an excuse, but that's definitely not an excuse now. The Avalanche working through all the injuries, all the youngsters coming up and playing well. You got to give them a lot of credit for that. In the first period, 6:45, Derek Morris, former Avalanche, his fourth. Kyle Komiski deflects the puck by Craig Anderson. Pretty good play by Komiski. Should do that on the other end sometimes. And then at 8:25, the Avalanche come right back. Kevin Porter, his first of the season with the Avalanche, a shorthanded goal. It all begins with a great forecheck by Matt Hendricks and Kyle Quincy joining the play. And goal was good after the review. They were worried about a high stick, but no such thing. Tied up at one going into the second. In the second period, Wojtek Volski, his 22nd of the year at 6:20, after a great save by Ilya Briskalov on the other end. That was a real game changer there. Makes a 2-1 Phoenix. Tyler Pyatt then scores at 9:24. his 10th of the season to give the Coyotes the 3-1 lead. Milan Hayduk in 19:28 of the second period, his 22nd of the season. Great work by Matt Duchesne behind the Coyote net, and late goals are huge anytime. Makes the game interesting, at least. 4:56 of the third period, Lee Stempniak, his 25th of the season on a 2-on-1, makes it 4-2 Phoenix. Lee Stempniak then scores his second of the game. His 26th of the year on the power play at 16:37 to make it 5-2. And Vernon Fiddler at 18:28, his 8th of the season, an empty net shorthanded goal to make it 6-2 Coyotes. This game was way closer than the score indicated, but the Avalanche didn't play real well in this one. Adam Foote and Kyle Komiski both -3, and Milan Hayduk a goal and 5 shots on net. For the Coyotes, Tyler Pyatt had a goal and an assist. Matthew Lombardi, 2 assists and 4 shots. Lee Stempniak, 2 goals and an assist. Vernon Fiddler, a goal, an assist, and 5 shots. Ed Jovanovski, hard to believe he's playing so well. And after all these years, I mean, he and Deadmarsh were fighting, I don't know, back in the day when Deadmarsh was still playing and Jovo's still at it. So got to give him a little credit. 2 assists in this one. And Jovo, you know, for the most part, every team he plays on has been pretty good. So you got to give him credit. And Wojtek Wolski, a goal and 2 assists for the Coyotes. So Saturday, March 27th at Phoenix against the Coyotes, the Avalanche lose 6-2. Game number 75, Sunday, March 28th at San Jose against the Sharks, the Avalanche lose 4-3. This one hurt because there was no Joe Thornton, no Rob Blake, and no Evgeny Nabokov for the Sharks. So I'm not saying it was going to be an easy 2 points, but it was a chance for the Avalanche to pick up a huge 2 points at the time, and they couldn't do it. In the first period, not a whole lot of bounces going the Avalanche's way during this game either, but you know, you got to earn those. Oh, back to the action. 10:51, Devin Setoguchi, his 18th. 1-0 Sharks. Kevin Porter scores in back-to-back games. 1:20 into the second period, his 2nd of the season. 12:42, Peter Mueller, his 10th of the year on the power play. And then at 18:37, Jed Ortmeier, his 8th of the season. And the Sharks, Sharks and Avalanche tied at 2. Avs outshoot the Sharks in the second period, 19-8. In the third period, things got a little tough for the Avalanche. Dan Boyle is 15th at 4:32. Peter Mueller, his 11th of the season, his 2nd of the game at 9:03. And Devin Setoguchi, his 19th of the season, his 2nd of the game at 14:11. Like I said, not a whole lot of bounces going the Avalanche's way, but you definitely have to work for those. Craig Anderson, 28 saves on 32 shots. And Thomas Greiss for the Sharks, 42 saves on 45 Avalanche shots. John Michael Lyles in this game, 5 shots. Matt Duchesne, an assist in 5 shots. Milan Hayduk, an assist in 6 shots. Ryan O'Reilly, 4 shots on net. And Peter Mueller, 2 goals and 5 shots for the Avalanche. Joe Pavelski for the Sharks, an assist in 3 shots. Danny Heatley, an assist in 5 shots. Devin Setoguchi, 2 goals and 7 shots on net. Dan Boyle, a goal and an assist. And Manny Malhotra, 4 shots for the Sharks. TJ Gagliardi, Chris Stewart, and Paul Stastny, all -3 in this game. And I saw some stats, and I didn't write them down, but that line struggled for a while before the Avalanche started playing a little bit better against the Sharks next time they met the Sharks. But, man, their numbers for a little bit were tough, and when your top line isn't playing very well, it's tough for your team to win. Sunday, March 28th against the Sharks was a good example. The Avalanche lose 4-3. Game number 76, Wednesday, March 31st against the Anaheim Ducks. The Avalanche lose again 5-2. Stewie Stastny and Kevin Porter line starts the game, so Joe Sacco's mixing things up a little bit. At 6:13, Cody McLeod had a goal call back due to a high stick that could have gotten the Avalanche going, but it didn't really. At 15:40, Steve Eminger scored his 3rd of the season off a Matt Duchesne deflection. And that went past Craig Anderson to give the Ducks a 1-0 lead. Saku Koivu, 19:54, scored his 16th. Adam Foote with a tough giveaway. And the Ducks take a 2-0 lead going into the second period. Milan Hayduk starts to make things interesting at 13:22, his 23rd of the season on the power play. I took some big notes during this game, but whatever. 19:30, Scott Niedermeyer, his 10th of the season. On this goal, I don't blame Craig Anderson for a ton of what goes on, but Craig Anderson either was lazy or tired or maybe a little bit of both, but he just did not join. The puck went behind him, and he just thought he had way more time than he did, and Scott Niedermeyer snuck it by him. So on we go. In the third period, 2:34, Teemu Selänne, his 22nd of the season. Jason Blake, his 15th of the season at 12:02. Darcy Tucker makes things interesting at 13:26, his 8th of the season. But that's as close as the Avalanche got. The Avalanche lose this one 5-2. Curtis McElhinney, I was looking for the Flames. Curtis McElhinney, not the one that's played fairly decent for the Ducks this season. He made 27 saves on 29 shots. And Craig Anderson, 22 saves on 27 shots. Steve Emminger and Tamu Solani for the Ducks, a goal and an assist apiece, and they were both plus five. Saku Koivu, a goal, three assists, plus five and three shots. And Jason Blake, a goal, four assists. He was a plus four and had five shots. Man, you don't see those numbers very often. That was a pretty impressive game by those guys. Matt Duchene, Kyle Komiski, Milan Hayduk, Adam Foote, and Peter Mueller, all minus three. Matt Duchene, four shots. Ruslan Soleil, five shots. That's the kind of game it was for the Avalanche. Against the Ducks at home, they lose Wednesday, March 31st, 5-2. All right, one more game. I'll give you a break after that. Oh, I got to turn the page one more time. All right, this won't take very long. Game number 77, Friday, April 2nd, against the Flames at Pepsi Center. A huge game, and people thought this was the end of the season right here. The Avalanche lose this game 2-1. No scoring in the first period. In the second period, off a giveaway, 2:28 in, Nigel Dawes scores his 14th. In the third period at 2:11, Corey Saric scores his first of the season for the Flames to give them a 2-0 lead. At 7:32, the Avalanche make it interesting. T.J. Gagliardi scores his 14th of the season. Great play by Chris Stewart to get him the puck in front. The Avalanche outshoot the Flames in the third period, 12-4. Mika Kiprusoff was a beast in this one. A lot of people blaming Mika Kiprusoff for the kind of the rough season the Flames have had, but they don't score that many goals. Had an interesting conversation with a friend I know about goaltending in the Northwest Division. Would you rather have Craig Anderson, Roberto Luongo, or Mika Kiprusoff? Interesting. Talk amongst yourselves. Like I said, Mika Kiprusoff, an outstanding performance, 35 saves on 36 Avalanche shots, and Craig Anderson, 25 saves on 27 Flame shots. David Moss for the Flames, four shots. That's their only notable. And John Michael Lyles for the Avalanche, four shots. Chris Stewart, an assist and eight shots on net. And TJ Gagliardi, a goal and four shots. The third period is when this team began to turn things around, though. They started to play a little bit better. This loss felt way better than the Sharks and the Ducks game before this. You didn't feel quite as bad, but the Avalanche get no points when they needed any kind of points. That really would have helped. But I'll be back with a much different story for you in just a few minutes. Well, not a few minutes, but in just a little bit. I'll give you a little break. I know you're not going anywhere. I got the Sharks and the Canucks game coming up that clinch the whole thing. So stick around. I'll be right back. Fans, welcome back to episode number 52 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. This is the Adam Foote edition of the show. We all like him. He looks good in the burgundy and blue. You gotta admit it. But here we go. We get to the fun part of the recaps that I've had. Game number 78, Sunday, April 4th, against the Sharks at Pepsi Center. The Avalanche win this one in overtime, 5-4. In the first period at 8:01, Douglas Murray scores his fourth, and 56 seconds later, Jamie McGinn at 8:57 scores his ninth of the year. And it looks like it's going to be a regular old game that the Avalanche had been through the last maybe four, five, six games, where they get no points and they get kind of smashed. But the Avalanche come back, 13:41. Kyle Quincy, his sixth from Ryan O'Reilly, fresh out of the box on the breakaway. How often do you see a defenseman get an even strength breakaway? Not often enough if you're an Avalanche fan. Kyle Quincy buries it, 2-1 going into the second. In the second period, it's the Peter Mueller show, 13:58. Peter Mueller, his 12th. And 18:07, Peter Mueller, his 13th, the second of the period. The Avalanche outshoot the Sharks in the second period, 14-7. They're up 3-2. Two huge goals. Some beautiful plays by the Mueller, Hayduk, and Duchene line. I had a tweet during this game, especially during, I believe it was the, I can't remember which Mueller goal it was, but it was, but I said there was like 15 good things about that shift that the line had. So looking good. In the third period, 20 seconds in, Paul Stastny scores his 19th of the season, a power play goal to give the Avalanche a 4-2 lead. And you kind of think things are under control, but it's also the Sharks, and they're tough, and they can score quickly and in bunches, and that's a little bit of what they did. At 8:13, Patrick Marleau, his 43rd, and at 14:41, Joe Pavelski ties the game, It was his 24th goal of the season. And then it's 4-4, and the crowd is on the edge of his seats. A great hockey game here. And in overtime, the Avalanche outshot the Sharks in the third period 17-5, and then they outshot the Sharks, I believe, 5-0 in overtime. That fifth shot, John Michael Lyle's tip off a Ryan Wilson shot, his sixth goal of the season, and the Avalanche get a huge 2 points combined. I think the Flames lost that night as well, but whatever. Doesn't matter. Evgeny Nabokov, 35 saves on 40 shots. I'll talk about the Sharks in a little bit. Craig Anderson, 18 saves on 22 Shark shots. Only 22 shots. Danny Heatley, 2 assists and 5 shots. Joe Thornton, 2 assists. Jamie McGinn, a goal and 3 shots. John Michael Lyles, a goal and 5 shots for the Avalanche. Matty Duchene, an assist and 5 shots. Milan Hayduk, 2 assists and 3 shots. Kyle Quincy and Paul Stastny, both with a goal and 4 shots. Ryan O'Reilly, an assist and 3 shots. And Peter Mueller, 2 goals, an assist, and 4 shots. Rob Blake buries Peter Mueller behind the Sharks net late in the third period. Peter Mueller leaves this game with a concussion, listed as kind of day-to-day. It is that time of year where Joe Sacco and all the NHL teams are being a little bit, we'll call it strategic, with the way they describe injuries. There's torso injuries, there's upper and lower body injuries, everybody's day-to-day. So we'll see about Peter Mueller. Joe Sacco seemed like he was pretty... optimistic about how Peter Mueller is feeling lately, said he's doing much better. We haven't seen him since this game, but man, having him back, and then David Jones, I guess there's a chance David Jones could play this afternoon against the Kings. Matt Duchene gets better, David Jones is in the lineup, and also Peter Mueller's in the lineup. This is a heck of a lineup, and this is the youngest team in the NHL, so I'll talk a little bit about that in a little while. I know I say that a lot, but I do, don't I? But anyways, Rob Blake's hit. Some people said it could have been suspension. I thought since Peter Mueller was going to miss some time and it was somewhat from behind that Rob Blake might have been suspended, but there was no suspension. I could have gone either way on that. Tough to see him go down. He put himself, Peter Mueller put himself in a vulnerable position as well. So I don't want to say it's all right, but hopefully he'll be back soon and the Avalanche will be super healthy and the healthiest they've been in a long, long time. And we'll kind of see what happens from there. Huge, like I said, a monstrous 2 points for the Avalanche and their playoff hopes. And a big hi to my man, Chris Huffine. Nothing makes periods go by faster than standing out on the concourse and talking about people's jerseys as they walk by and talking about jerseys and patches we'd like to get. I know Chris would agree with me on that one. So, Chris, good to see you. I'll be at game 3 or 4. I'm not quite sure which one. I'll be in touch, and we'll talk more jerseys, and we'll talk more stuff we want to get and all kinds of good stuff. So a big hi to my man, Chris. And there you go. Oh, Chris got his money's worth for his snowboard as well. He knows what I mean by that. Sunday, April 4th, the Avalanche beat the Sharks at Pepsi Center in overtime on a Johnny Hot Pocket goal, 5-4. I'm getting all giddy. Can't you hear it? Game number 79, the clincher, Tuesday, April 6th at Vancouver against the Canucks. The Avalanche win this one in a shootout, 4-3. In the first period, Darcy Tucker is ninth of the season at 617. And then the Sedins are just sickness, aren't they? Daniel Sedin is 25th of the season at 1759. Avalanche battle right back. 57 seconds later, 1856. TJ Gagliardi, his 15th of the season. Avalanche lead 2-1 going into the second. The Canucks tied at 2 on a Mason Raymond goal, 7-11 in the second period, his 25th. Paul Stastny at 14-07, his 20th of the season, gives the Avalanche a 3-2 a 3-2 lead. And this goal reminded me of a certain number 21 that used to play for the Avalanche, Peter Forsberg. There's not many goals that I've seen. One of Matt Duchene's goal he scored, and I talk about it in I can't remember what episode, but he shot it, it went in. I was like, that looked like Joe Sakic. The pass by Chris Stewart and also the shot by Paul Stastny both look like Peter Forsberg on this play. A saucer pass from Chris Stewart on a 2-on-1 to Stastny's left skate. He deflects it seamlessly, but I mean, he just makes this look too easy. Deflects it off his left skate up to his stick, and then he tips the puck in. And that's his 20th of the season, and that looked like Peter Forsberg. So it's kind of good to be reminded of the old days every once in a while. In the third period, Brandon Yip gets a hooking penalty, and at 15:54, no surprise, Daniel Sedin scores his 26th of the year, his second of the game, on the power play to tie the game at 3. Obviously, no scoring in overtime. 5 saves by Craig Anderson and Roberto Luongo, and then the winning goal by the kid, Matt Duchene. The rookie with the game and the playoffs on his stick comes up huge. His celebration was great. Craig Anderson, 29 saves on 32 shots, and Roberto Luongo, 28 saves on 31 shots. For the Avalanche, Milan Hayduk, 4 shots. Chris Stewart, 2 assists and 4 shots. Paul Stastny, a goal and assist and 7 shots. And TJ Gagliardi, a goal and 4 shots. Kevin Bieksa, Alex Burrows, Daniel Sedin, and Henrik Sedin, all minus 2 in this game. Sammy Salo, 2 assists. Mason Raymond, a goal and 5 shots. Daniel Sedin, 2 goals and 6 shots. And Alex Edler, 2 assists for the Canucks. Pavel Demitra and Michael Samuelson, both with 4 shots. And Henrik Sedin, an assist and 3 shots. The Canucks are tough. They score a ton of goals, but no offense to any Canucks fans out there, but you'll probably agree with me. Roberto Luongo is shaky. But they score enough goals to kind of, I don't want to say covered up, but to at least help some of the shaky goals he gives up. But Matt Duchene, clutch. Hopefully this we can look back on this and, I don't know, say that was at the beginning of the season because the kid's been great all year, but just another memory we can throw in there. So Tuesday, April 6th, the Avalanche at the Vancouver Canucks win in the shootout 4-3 and clinch the playoff spot that they've battled for all season. So congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche. All right, a couple more games. These really haven't meant much, and if you watched them, you'd agree. Wednesday, April 7th, at Edmonton against the Oilers, the Avalanche lose this one in overtime 5-4. The Avalanche rest Adam Foote, Scott Hannon, TJ Gagliardi, Milan Hayduk, and Paul Stastny in this one. At 4:33, Matt Duchene scores his 24th goal of the season. It was his first goal in 13 games, and you could read his lips after he scored. He could read it. He says, "Finally." But good for him. 24th. I'm sure other guys like shake their heads. He's got 24 goals this season. He's like, "Finally, that sucks." But I don't know. You gotta cheer for him, but also if you're a guy that doesn't score much, it's like, geez, dude, whatever. 24 seconds later, Ryan O'Reilly, his 8th of the season at 4:57. O'Reilly's first goal in like 12-plus games or something like that. And then at 8:58, Marek Svato scores his 7th. Yeah, I said it. Marek Svato's his 7th of the season. His first goal in 28 games, so some slump busters, those first 3 goals for the Avalanche. The Oilers come right back. Sean Horkoff, his 13th on the power play, and Dustin Penner, his 32nd on the breakaway, and it's 3-2 going into the second period. Mike Comrie scores a power play goal, 6:02 in the second period, his 10th of the season, and in the third period, Andrew Cogliano scores his 10th at 6:10. Matt Hendricks scores his 9th at 12:58 to tie the game up. The Avalanche outshoot the Oilers in the third period 20-12, so good to see them show up for that. And then in overtime, Ryan Whitney, I said 5-0 in the Sharks game as far as shooting. That's where this came from. Anyways, 3:50, Ryan Whitney, his 6th of the season after Ryan Wilson turns the puck over about 300 times in the Avalanche's zone during one shift. And the Oil beats the Avalanche 5-4. Peter Budaj, 40 saves on 45 shots, and Jeff Delorier for the Oilers, 31 saves on 35 Avalanche shots. Quick notables, John Michael Isles, 2 assists and 4 shots. Brandon Yip and Chris Stewart, 4 shots. Ryan O'Reilly, a goal and 3 shots. And Cody McLeod, 2 assists and 5 shots. For the Oil, Ryan Whitney, a goal and 5 shots. Andrew Cogliano, a goal and assist and 4 shots. Ryan Patolny, 7 shots. Dustin Penner, a goal and 2 assists. I saw him go up against Darcy Tucker in front of the net. Man, Penner's huge and Tucker's small. It just made me smile. Tom Gilbert, 2 assists, and Mike Comrie, a goal and 8 shots for the Edmonton Oilers. They win this one April 7th at the Rexall Place still. 5-4 was your final. All right, one more game. Game number 81, Friday, April 9th, against the Chicago Blackhawks at Pepsi Center. The Avalanche lose 5-2. Colin Frazier, his 5th in the first period at 6:20. Jonathan Toews, his 25th on the power play at 10:55. 2-0 going into the second period. The Avalanche also outshot in this period 17-7. Not a good period overall. In the second period, Patrick Sharp, his 25th at 7:21, 3-0 Blackhawks. At 17:36, Ryan Stoa scores his first career NHL goal. Congratulations, Ryan Stoa. That was at 17:36, like I said, 3-1 going into the third period. Darcy Tucker then scores his 10th of the season at 12:59, 3-2 Chicago. Colin Frazier, less than a minute after this, his 6th of the year, 2nd of the game at 13:27, 4-2 Blackhawks. And then Christopher Stieg, his 20th of the season, an empty netter at 18:39 to ice it. Antti Niemi for the Blackhawks, 30 saves on 32 shots, and Peter Budaj, 32 saves on 36 Avalanche shots. Attendance for this one, 16,327. Way too many Blackhawks fans, though, so I'm not going to be very happy if there's that many Blackhawks fans at the if the Avalanche end up facing the Blackhawks, but that's definitely a possibility. We'll see. That makes sense. Definitely a possibility. That's a possibility. No Craig Anderson, no TJ Gagliardi, no Milan Hayduk, and no Adam Foote in this one. So if the Avalanche do end up seeing the Blackhawks will see a very different team. Matt Duchene left the game, went to the hospital for a torso injury. This was actually, I believe, suffered against the Oilers a couple nights before on a big hit by Zach Startini. Not very classy. Would have liked to see him pay a little bit for this. I don't know. Startini plays, 3 minutes out of every game, and he's out there to stir things up. So he does that pretty well, but him trying to bury Matt Duchene, and he didn't even knock him over because Matt Duchene's stronger than he looks, but that sucked. But I know what you guys are I know you guys know what I'm talking about. So anyways, Brent Sopel, an assist and +3 for the Blackhawks. Jonathan Toews, a goal and an assist. Dustin Byfuglien, an assist and 5 shots. Colin Frazier, 2 goals and 4 shots. Thomas Kopecky, 2 assists and 3 shots. And Patrick Kane, an assist and 4 shots for the Blackhawks. And for the Avalanche, one notable, Ryan Stoa, his first career NHL goal and 7 shots. All right, that's it. I'm going to the news and notes next. Got plenty of stuff for you. Playoff implications a little bit. I got your 3 stars of the podcast. It's actually like 7 or 8 stars, but it's my show. I can do what I want with it. I'll be right back. News and notes coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Fans, welcome back to episode number 52 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. The playoff edition. I love saying that. The Adam Foote edition as well. Jersey number 52 for the Avalanche. Next to be retired, depending on when Peter Forsberg officially retires. So that's my guess anyways. If you want to argue about that, let me know. All right, let's go to the news and notes since my last show. On April 2nd against the Ducks, Stefan Yell returned to lineup after missing 8 games with a leg injury, and Brandon Yip returned to action after missing the past 14 games with a shoulder injury. Avalanche getting healthy around playoff time. That's nice. On April 3rd, the Avalanche announced the signings of Boston University defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk and Colby Cohen. Bright future for the Avalanche. I've heard good things about these guys. I don't usually talk about the signings, but we'll see about these guys. It's good to sign the young talent, and we'll see. Hopefully, I'll be talking about them sooner or later. And some right-handed shots from the point never hurts either. On April 4th, Peter Mueller left the Sharks game with a concussion after Rob Blake hit him hard. He's out indefinitely. David Jones and Peter Mueller should be back soon, though. So, like I said before, that's a tough lineup. That's always nice to see. Adam Foote during this game also recorded his 300th career point with an assist on Peter Mueller's second period goal against the Sharks. And Milan Hayduk recorded his 700th career point on John Michael Lyle's OT game-winning goal against the Sharks. So he celebrates in style there. Congratulations for those guys for a couple career milestones. I'm trying to stay away from that. April 5th, Ryan Stoa was recalled by the Avalanche, his sixth call up this season. And I think he's up here for good through the playoffs. I don't know if he'll play that much, but, he'll be up for good. So, it's good to see him. Big power forward. Those are always nice to have. And on, April 6th, the Avalanche is, 4-3 shootout win against the Canucks, combined with the Flames' regulation loss against the Sharks that night, qualified the Colorado Avalanche for the 2010 Stanley Cup playoffs. That's good stuff right there. This will be the franchise's 28th playoff round since 1996. 29th, sorry. 12th time in 14 seasons the Avalanche have made the playoffs. The first time since 2000 that the last place team in the Western Conference made the playoffs the next season. Team with the second most game injury man injuries lost to team with the second most games lost to injury in the entire league makes the playoffs. That's impressive right there. So it's an excuse when things don't go well, but it's something worth celebrating when things go well. So, you know, there you go. Credit to Joe Sacco. Is it Jeff Sherman, the GM? I forgot his, and that's my uncle, Jeff Sherman. But props to everybody in the Avalanche organization. Nice work. Let's see, Avalanche also getting healthier. Ryan Wilson, Matt Hendricks came back from concussions. David Krejci is also healthy. He came back from his broken hand. And David Jones close to returning for the Avalanche as well. Tough lineup, literally and figuratively. Be nice. It's nice to see them get healthy at the right time. And on April 8th, Ryan Stowa scored his first NHL goal. He became the eighth Avalanche player to do that this season. How many teams can say they have eight different people score their first NHL goals in a season? That's cool stuff. Ryan Wilson, Ryan O'Reilly, Matt Duchene, Brandon Yip, Chris Durno, Justin Mercier, Ryan Stowa, and Matt Hendricks all score their first NHL goals this season. How cool is that? Things are going to continue to get better. Who will play who in the playoffs is still very much up in the air. The Avalanche are either going to play the Sharks or the Blackhawks. I know you guys all know that. I'll talk about that in a little bit at the very end of the show. All right, here's my three stars of the podcast. There's a bunch of them because I felt like giving out a bunch of stars. Honorable mention, Peter Budaj. He's got a great attitude. He's always cheering. Adam Foote, with some credit to him, after the shootout in Vancouver when the Avalanche clinched the playoffs, he's coaching everybody. And props to John. He gave props to John Michael Lyles when he chased down Henrik Sedin in overtime when he was – or was it Daniel? It was one of the Sedins. They're both the same. It's a two-headed monster. But, you know, he's standing up, tapping John Michael Lyles on the head. John Michael Lyles got everybody going with that play. So Peter Budaj, I don't know if I'd like to see him back in a professional, like, hockey, like, we're going to win with him attitude, but he's a great guy, and he's done a great job for the Avalanche, kind of going from starter to the second-string guy, and he works his tail off. So credit to Peter Budaj, honorable mention. Darcy Tucker played way better as of late. He says he feels better from his concussion that he suffered early in the year, and he's showing it. So Darcy Tucker, honorable mention as well. He's looked good as of late. The bigger the game, the better he's looked. And if he can keep that up in the playoffs, it'll be very much appreciated. So always happy to mention Darcy Tucker, the guy that everybody hated last year, in a good sense. So Darcy Tucker, honorable mention. Also Adam Foote. Adam Foote is playing his best hockey by far the season right now. He says he wants to come back, like I said earlier in the show. And for the first time all season, I'm thinking I wouldn't mind that too much. So Adam Foote, Darcy Tucker, and Peter Budaj, honorable mentions for the three stars of the podcast. My third star for – I got two third stars. Paul Stastny, just for being who he is. As he goes, the offense goes. He's got a five-game point streak going into the game this afternoon against the Kings. When he plays well, the Avalanche plays well. And Paul Stastny, future captain, I'll call it right here. And Peter Mueller, two goals and for his performance, two goals and an assist against the Sharks in the huge overtime win on April 4th. He's been a beast since he's come here. You guys all know that. Hopefully he can stay a little bit healthier, and hopefully he'll be back soon as well. So Peter Mueller for his performance against the Sharks, and Paul Stastny, just for being Paul Stastny. And the second star of the game, Matt Duchene, game-winning, playoff-clinching, shootout goal against the Canucks on April 6th, showed some serious emotion, showed some serious, I'll call him guts, in that as well. The 19-year-old with the playoffs on his stick, and he buries it. Hopefully one of many huge goals that he'll score in his career that we can all cheer for as Avalanche fans. So Matt Duchene, your second star, and the first star of the podcast, the guy that everybody wanted to see gone, like I've said in the past, at the trade deadline, John Michael Lyles. Johnny Hot Pocket has played huge when he's needed to. You really get to see who's with it. The bigger the game, the better they play, and he's been one of those guys. The overtime game-winning goal against the Sharks on the 4th, and single-handedly stops two breakaways versus Canucks on April 6th, and doesn't even take a penalty to break those up either. The guy everyone wanted to see gone has played huge for the Avalanche lately, and that's why I'm wearing one of his game-worn jerseys to the game this afternoon. John Michael Lyles, my first star of the podcast. Second star, Matt Duchene. Third star is Paul Stastny and Peter Mueller. And honorable mentions go to Adam Foote, Darcy Tucker, and Peter Budaj. All right, there's my three stars of the podcast. There's all your news and notes. I'll talk about some playoff implications here in the third segment. I'll talk about, an email that I got from a listener that was very cool. And I'll also talk about where you can find me and a bunch of my Avalanche homies on the internet. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back, Avalanche fans, to episode number 52 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen, the Adam Foote edition of the show. Thank you very much for joining me. And I said homies before. That was cool. This is the third segment. Upcoming games. There's one on the schedule, April 11th. That's this afternoon. That's in about 4 hours. I'm heading downtown here in a little bit against the Kings, 1 p.m. Andy. Craig Anderson, TJ Gagliardi are both back in for the Avalanche. I haven't heard about Milan Hayduk. I doubt many of you will even listen to this before the game this afternoon. But anyways, Peter Mueller, day-to-day. Matt Duchene, doubtful, but also listed as day-to-day. We will see. Come probably Wednesday or Thursday, the Avalanche will open up, and it'll either be in San Jose or at Chicago against the Blackhawks. It depends on how their game goes this afternoon, how the Blackhawks game goes this afternoon. Whatever. I know you'll be following it Wednesday or Thursday. And I'm going to go with Mark Rycroft from Altitude on this one, former Avalanche player as well. I'll take either one. Well, you don't really have a choice. But anyways, he said we'll take the Blackhawks because Antti Niemi can be shaky at times. You can obviously go with the Sharks because the Sharks are known for the past 3, 4, 5 years for blowing up in the playoffs, and people get really, really down on them and saying, I told you so. I've heard of Evgeny Nabokov is in his, spring form, giving up 5 or 6 goals a game. We'll see. I'm not going to worry as much about who the Avalanche play, but right now with the Avalanche, how they're playing, you got a young team, nothing to lose. Why not? Nobody's looking for them. They're 50-1 long shots to win, by the way, in Vegas, the Stanley Cup. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. You're in, and you have a chance to win it. There you go. We'll just go with that. All right, I'll talk about the playoffs here in a second. Let's talk about where to find me and a bunch of my friends on the internet. AvsHockeyPodcast.com. You either found me there or on iTunes. Thank you, those of you that have left me feedback on iTunes and ratings. It's very much appreciated. Just search for the Avs Hockey Podcast, and you will find me if that's not where you found me to begin with. Or go to AvsHockeyPodcast.com. My show is also posted there. The Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook fan page. A special hello to James. Well, special hellos to my buddies James Kyle, Mike Casalena, and my girl Courtney Beckham from Chicks Who Give a Puck on Twitter. I'll give you guys a shout out there. But she's our newest fan. She's our newest fan. There might be one more too, but thank you to those guys and gals who joined me there. Last week, I get a readout every week of how many people visit my Facebook fan page. And last week I had 564 visits to my page. To some people, that's not a lot. To me, that's a ton. So thank you very much for those of you that support me there. Stick with me between shows there. I post anything from YouTube videos to my thoughts to jersey stuff to video, all kinds of stuff. But just check me out there. I'd love for you to join me if you're out there and you like the Avalanche. Just search Facebook for the Avs Hockey Podcast. Would love to see you there with all my friends. On Twitter, I am AVSHKYPODCAST, no spaces. A couple people you should be following on Twitter if you're not already, if you're on Twitter, are Mark Moser, the radio play-by-play guy for the Avalanche. His call name on Twitter, I'll just call it that. His name on Twitter is Avalanche Radio, no spaces. And also Mike Haynes, the television play-by-play man for the Avalanche, voice of the Avs, no spaces. So follow those guys, follow me, and follow a bunch of my friends on there. A lot of fun to talk hockey with true Avalanche fans from all over the world, basically. you can email me, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. And my man Jim from Everett, Massachusetts, that's what he did. I talked about the biggest trade in Avalanche history two weeks ago. And my thoughts on the biggest trade in Avalanche history was the Patrick Waugh move. And he got in touch with me and said he very respectfully disagreed, by the way. He said he loved the show. And, you know, that's my kind of guy right there. But he said the biggest move in Avalanche history was the Eric Lindros move that brought Forsberg and the pick that the Avalanche eventually picked up Waugh with. So I can't argue with that. One's a Nordiques move, one's an Avalanche move. But either way, it benefited the Avalanche. And overall, Jim, I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you getting in touch with me. So nice talking with you. I'm glad you enjoy the show. I'm glad I can keep you up to date. And you're the reason, you and fans like you are the reason why I made the show in the first place. So Jim from Everett, Massachusetts, thanks for getting in touch. And stay in touch if you want to talk some Avalanche hockey. Otherwise, I'll see you on the podcast. So anybody else who wants to get in touch, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. Avalanche.nhl.com, the Avalanche home site. Plays of the week are almost over with, and then it'll be time for a play of the year. So I'm not sure if it's in the middle of the summer or whatever. Just keep an eye on the Avalanche's site. They'll have a bracket playoff for Avalanche play of the year. It's always fun to relive the memories from the season. So I imagine the Lyles goal will be up there. I imagine the Kyle Comiskey overtime winner will be up there, and there'll be a couple more that have my favorites already. But it's always interesting to go through that process, so go check that out for sure, avalanche.nhl.com. The avalanchetalk.com blog, Kevin Nash, he's been on the injured reserve lately, but go check out his blog, a good friend of mine. We've followed Avalanche hockey together for a while now, so go check him out, avalanchetalk.com. Rink Podcast, James Tapeleg-Grelian, on hiatus due to spotty internet service in Philly. James and I will do a show coming up here within the next, I'd say, month or two. He's going to be back in town. I'm so looking forward to that, and hopefully you guys are too, because I get tired of listening to me talk too. I'd love to have a co-host with the time and passion and the schedule that I do, but that's almost, I'd hate to ask somebody to do it all the time with me, but if James were around, he'd be the guy. We'd make a heck of a team. I think we do already, but we'll make a show here pretty soon. Check out his show, The Rink Podcast. He hasn't had a show for a while, but he will here soon. Good people. James is, and go check him out, rinkpodcast.com. The avalancheguild.com blog, Jason does a great job there. He has a breakdown of all the blogs, all the top blogs that you want to follow, including this show, kind of an audio blog. But anyways, go check his site out, avalancheguild.com/blogs. Justin, did I say Jason before? I meant Justin. He does a great job. AvalancheDB.com, where I get my jersey number info and stats and everything else. Thank you to my friends there. They do an outstanding job. Go check out that site, AvalancheDB.com. All right, a few playoff thoughts, and then I'm done. The Avalanche are in. You have as much of a chance as anyone. That's always a good thing. Getting in is the key, playing well at the right time, getting a few bounces, and just playing your tail off. This will be a great experience for the Avalanche, the youngest team in the league, and they're going to actually probably get younger next season, depending on what they decide to do. So could be an exciting time for them, good experience. I'm not saying they should just give up and say, oh, the experience will be great. I mean, nobody's expecting them to win, and that's never a bad place to be. I just want them to be competitive. If they lose some close games, it'll be good for them in the long run. It'll be exciting for us fans. They did what no expert thought they'd do this season, and the rest is pretty much icing on the cake. So you got to give them tons of credit for that, and it's exciting. I guess us Avalanche fans, 12 out of 14 seasons, take it for granted, and when the team loses, you think it's the end of the world and they don't make the playoffs. But man, I forgot how exciting it is to get in, and this is as excited as I've been about Avalanche hockey in obviously at least two seasons. So it's fun. It's a fun time of year. I always think back to 96 when I went to the playoff games and the Avalanche would actually come out behind their own net. The locker rooms weren't the same at McNichols Arena, and their locker room was actually about 100 feet behind the net, behind the glass, obviously. And then when the fans would see the team start to come out of the locker room, they'd actually cheer before the whole building could see them. And it was just a really cool atmosphere. Chris Drury's overtime goal in the 99 playoffs against the Stars was the loudest I ever heard Big Mac. So that's a great memory for me. And also the 2001 playoff run. Who can forget all those? Between the Bork commercial that they're showing and between the Sackett goal that put the Avalanche up 3-1 in Game 7, and a lot of good memories. Hopefully there's lots more. And like I said before, I haven't been this excited about Avalanche hockey in a long, long time, and I know you guys aren't either. So keep in touch with kind of your spots to get Avalanche news. Who they'll play and when they'll play will come out soon, and then it's playoff time. Nothing better. So, like I always say, keep cheering your team on, And please take care. Let's go Avs. And I'll be back in a couple weeks, and hopefully I got some more good news for you on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Take care.